Open your Bibles with me to Romans chapter 10, and we're starting in verse 13. If you're using a Pew Bible, that is page 918. Page 918. This is God's word for us this morning. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How, then, can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
It's my privilege to introduce you to our speaker today, Isaac Medler. Isaac was the youth pastor at Calvary, a church down the street, has some connections with our church through Beacon Bible Camp, knew some people that were from here, but also Mark and Isaac and some other churches did a lot of youth events together for a lot of years, and Mark is in Germany, but Isaac is now working with SIM as a missionary, and I won't tell you what he's doing because he's going to do that, but we're really excited to have Isaac here. He and his family we just brought them on as supportive missionaries in our church new this year, so we're really excited to have them with us. So why don't you welcome him?
Thanks, Steve. Thank you. Well, good morning, everyone. It's great to be with you all this morning, and a big thank you to Pastor Steve and to the missions committee and to the church for inviting us to come and share this morning God's word and a little bit of our ministry, but also thank you for partnering with us and supporting the work that we do, and hopefully that we can come alongside of you as well, and we can see that all of us can reach the nations that God has brought to our doorstep here in Toronto and around Canada. And so this is what I'm going to be sharing a little bit about today. The title of our message is The Urgency of the Gospel and the Nations at Our Doorstep, and so I'm really excited about that. This is not my first time in your building. I have run around your building chasing the youth many times with Pastor Mark, so hopefully I don't have to chase you and run around today, but we've got a lot of great memories here, and so I was told to be a little bit more professional today, dress up a little nicer, you know, things like that, but I've heard of Forward Baptist when I was like 12 years old at Beacon Bible Camp. I knew the Dynam family, the So family, a few others, that we were into camp together, and I heard about this church in Toronto. I'm originally from the Windsor area, down in a town called Amherstburg on the border, so coming up to Toronto, the big city, always thought this was crazy for anyone to live in this city, but anyways, here we are now. So as Pastor Steve said, I was serving at Calvary Church for 7 years there, and now God has called us into full-time missions work with SIM, and SIM is a global missions organization that sends missionaries all over the world to reach the least reach. And I didn't know Don Longworth is also connected. Don is my boss, technically. He is the director for the Canada field of SIM, and we actually just recently met him in person for the first time a few weeks ago at our conference. So it's really neat to have those connections. Our passage today is one that is really dear to my heart. It actually was one that really touched me when I was just a young teen. And so I see we have some young people here today, and so I hope this passage will speak to you as well. And so I'm excited to talk about this. But before we do this, let's dive into God's word and bring God into this place. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you today wanting to hear from you. We want to hear what it is that will draw us closer to you, to live in light of your love. Lord, we dedicate this message to you, and I ask that not a single word would come from my mouth that is not from you. May you receive the honor and glory in all that is done here today. Amen. I want to tell you a story about a young man from Japan. This young man came from a broken home. His father left him when he was just a couple years old. His mother ended up abusing him as a young child, and he left his mom to go live with his grandmother, who had Alzheimer's, and mostly turned out that he was taking care of her. And he tried in his young teen years to end his life at least three different times due to the depression in his life. And to escape his pain in Japan, he ended up coming to Canada. He says, I want to learn English. I want to practice my English. And so he came here to study for just 2 months. And this young man, he came to our doorstep. My wife and I, we run a program, a homestay program in our house where we have international students living with us. And he came to live with us. And at first, he was very closed off to any sort of relationship with us. But as he was coming to the end of his 2 months, he started to open up more and more to our family, to our children. And we started to be able to have conversations about our faith and what it is that we believed. And we had opportunities to share the gospel with him. And he ended up enjoying his time so much right at the end that he says, I'm going to extend my stay. And so he stayed with us for another 2 months after that. And he loved on our children and we loved on him. And he was honestly like our third child, big child. And we had a wonderful time with him. And at the end of his 4 months, I ended up dropping him off at the airport. And he started to cry with me. And I always remember what he said. He says, Isaac, I don't get it. Why do you love me without expecting anything in return? And that gave me one more opportunity to just share how it wasn't my love, how it's God's love. And he loves you despite the pain that you've been through, the broken family, the abuse, all of these things. God loves you and he wants a relationship with you. That young man ended up going home for a number of months, and to our surprise, he showed up back in Toronto now with a full college degree or program that he's going to enter into, and he's been here the last couple years, and we've been able to continue this relationship and join in our family. He shows up for Christmas. He shows up for Thanksgiving. He shows up at our door randomly and just a part of the family. In fact, he knows the code to our house, and he sometimes is just in the living room when we wake up, and so it's just wonderful that he's been able to be a part of this family and be able to share God's love with this young man who had never heard the gospel before coming to Canada. And I share this story, but this is just one of the million of people who are coming to our nation who do not know Jesus, who need God's love, need to be part of a family, and to be embraced with God's unconditional love. This morning, I want to ask us all a question. Do you believe that what you believe is really real? Let me say that again. Think about that. Do you believe that what you believe is really real? I want to share a little bit of my testimony, a little bit of my story. I was born into a wonderful Christian family with godly parents. I was raised in a Fellowship Baptist church like this, Harrow Baptist Church, and I was taught God's word from a young age. And with childlike faith at the age of 4, I gave my life to God, and I decided this is what I believe as a young child. But as a teen, I started to question things. And I questioned this kind of idea. If I was born into a Hindu home, I would probably just believe in Hinduism. Or what if I was born into a Muslim home? Then I would probably just believe in Islam. Or a Jewish home, or whatever else it was. And so because I was born into this Christian home, yes, I did believe it, but if I'm basing my eternity on this salvation or this religion or this belief, I want to be not just 190% sure, I want to be 110% sure that the God of the Bible is the one true God. And so I started studying other religions, started questioning my faith, started reading the Bible for the first time seriously. And as I saw what other religions offered me, it was all about this idea of Isaac trying to do good, and then maybe, just maybe, if I do enough good at the best time, then maybe when I die, I will go to paradise or heaven or whatever it may be. But in the Christian faith, we see that the God of the Bible has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with Christ dying on the cross for me. And that was just so radically different than anything else I saw out there. And so as I came back to God's word, I see and I know that I'm 110, 100, and a million, whatever percent sure that the God of the Bible is the only true God. There is no other way to be saved. And so once I was convinced of this, I was touched by two quotes. When I was actually just a teen, a young person, there's two quotes that I've memorized to this day. The first is our question that I've asked today. Do you believe that what you believe is really real? It's from the leader of the Truth Project, Del Tackett. And if we do, the question is, then what are we doing about it? The second quote is from a pastor in the States, David Platt, from one of his Bible studies. He says this: "Is there anything greater than the representation and the declaration of Jesus Christ to all ends of the earth? Is there anything greater?" And for me, the answer was no. God has literally done everything for me. And so there is nothing greater than to give my life fully over to him, to love him with all that I am, and to share this good news to everyone in my path. This led me to go to Bible school and, through God's plans and not my plans, become a pastor in Toronto. And I told the church, I said, okay, I'll take the job. You know, God seems to be leading me. And I told him, I'll do 1, maybe 2 years. But don't we know that God's plans are always better than ours? We ended up staying there for 7 years. And now this has led us to where God has brought us, which is to be missionaries right here in our own country, in our own city, to reach the nations that God has brought to our doorstep. And this leads us today to our passage in Romans chapter 10, verses 13 to 15. I'm going to read this again for us. "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one whom they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. Do you believe that what you believe is really real? Everyone must call on the one true Lord to be saved. We must call out to God to be saved. There is literally no other way. And so, as Christians and followers of Christ, we believe in this gospel or this good news. Well, what is the good news? Let's look at what it is that we really do believe before we see how it draws us to action. Humanity was made in God's image. We were created to have a relationship with God. We rebelled through Adam and Eve, and death and sin entered the world. We were made to have a relationship with God, but the sin or the junk in our lives, it hurts others, it hurts ourselves, and it hurts God, and it separates us from a perfect and holy God. Humanity chooses to live their own life, neglect any relationship with our Creator. But God so loves the world, and he has a plan, a master plan from the beginning of time, and he chooses to use broken people to bring about the salvation of the world. He uses broken people like Abraham and King David, and eventually a young woman named Mary. His plan was to send himself, Jesus, who is God, the Son of the Father, to be born of a human, to live a sinless life, and to die on the cross for our sins. He takes the inevitable punishment that we all deserve for the wrongdoings that we have committed. And you see, when Adam and Eve disobeyed God's one command, from that moment, death was inevitable for all, eternal separation from a perfect and holy God. But the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." And so all will die. All will be eternally separated from God as broken people, because we cannot be with a perfect and holy God. But God steps down to earth, and he is perfect, and in his perfection, he takes the death that we deserve. He says to us that if we believe in our hearts that he is the creator and the savior of the universe, if we confess with our mouth that he has done, or that we have done wrong, and we've hurt ourselves, we've hurt others, and we've hurt God, and we ask to restore this relationship, it says he will forgive us. He will help us. He will be with us for the rest of eternity. And this is good news, church, right? And so as Christians, this is our good news. This is the gospel, that the filth in our lives, it separates us from God. But God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Romans 10, verse 13, our first verse makes this clear. It says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." If we call on the name of the Lord, we will be saved. And this is great news for those of us who know this truth. But the reality that I want to point out to us today is that there are billions of people in this world who do not know this truth. who have never heard of a Christian or Jesus or dying on the cross for their sins or the resurrection. The reality is that unless they hear the good news and respond by calling out to him, their sin will lead them to be separated from God for eternity. And you and I know just how life-changing this relationship with God is, right? This good news, it gives me hope that I know where I'm going to go when I die. This good news brings about joy in my life despite the hardest things. This good news, I know where I'm going to go. I know who I'm going to be with. I receive wisdom from God to make good decisions in my life. I have brothers and sisters in Christ who walk alongside with me. I don't have to do this on my own. This good news, it's not just good news. It is literally the best news ever. Period. And yet billions of people do not know this. And this is what brought me to tears as a young teen, and it still breaks my heart. This is what led me to go to Moody Bible Institute and get a degree in intercultural communications. And it led me to go on a missions trip to Nepal as a young 18-year-old. And you can see a few photos maybe here. I know, we'll see. Are the photos working? Do we go fast? Anyways, it's okay. Some of the photos weren't working. But on this trip, we would go up to the villages and in the mountains to bring the good news to those, to the lost. And we were met by people who had never heard the gospel or even heard of a Christian or Jesus or the Bible. And in these villages, we would do these puppet shows and these dance, and villagers would gather around. They literally stopped school, and kids would come running out to see what we were doing. And they'd ask us, so why are you here? And we tell them, we have some incredible news to share with you. We've come all the way from Canada and America and from the UK. We come all over to share the good news. They had no exposure to this. One story that will always stick out in my mind, and this full story is a bit too much for our younger audience, so I'll keep it PG, but I was sitting across, I'm not sure if the photo's there, but I was sitting across the river from what was a cremation ceremony in the Hindu faith. And I remember seeing the smoke and the families and the crying and screaming was so loud, and I will never get it out of my brain, but I remember just sitting there and thinking, have they heard about Jesus? Did they even have an opportunity to hear about Jesus? And this is what broke my heart, and I started to see just how urgent this gospel really is. You see, there are reportedly 8 billion people in the world, of which 3 billion of these people are completely unreached from the good news. There are more people alive today who do not know Jesus than at any other point in history. 87% of all Buddhists, Hindus, and Muslims have little, if any, contact with a Christian. And yes, the numbers of unreached people groups are mostly in Asia, North Africa, Middle East, but I believe that God is doing something by bringing millions of these people right to our doorstep. As of 2023, there were more than 8 million immigrants with permanent residency here in Canada, over 20% of the Canadian population. Over half the population of Toronto was born outside of Canada. And right now, recently, Canada's been bringing over 500,000 internationals every year. And this doesn't include the hundreds of thousands of work permits. And just last year, we had close to 1 million international students in Canada. The majority of these new immigrants and international students are coming from countries where there is little to no access to the gospel. And the numbers of these immigrants, especially, it's changing with the election coming up, and things are changing. But I know that God is giving us an opportunity right here in Canada. And it's not even just in Toronto. We've been preaching at churches in Owen Sound and small little towns. And those small towns are changing. And more immigrants are coming and spreading out throughout Canada. The opportunities are all around us. You see, our God is a God of movement, and where we live is directly tied to God's will. These are the types of facts that touched my heart. The fact that I have this incredible, amazing, best news ever, and yet there are so many people who do not know it. And as Bible-believing Christians, we know that there is a path to an eternal separation from God if they do not call on the name of the Lord. We've been commanded by Jesus in Matthew 20 to go and make disciples of all nations, every tribe, every people group. You see, to love God is to love the lost, and it must move us into action. To love God is to love and obey his commands, to go and make disciples. It doesn't matter what language they speak. It doesn't matter what color of skin they may have. It doesn't matter what ethnic or cultural backgrounds they may have. God calls us to love the lost and love the foreigner. And so, do we really believe in this good news? Do we really believe that without it, there's an eternal separation from God? And if we do, then not only does this need to break our hearts, but it must move us to action. Do you believe that what you believe is really real? God's plan of redemption includes us. God chooses to use broken people to bring about the good news of Jesus Christ. Let's look at our passage one more time, Romans chapter 10, and see what Paul says here. I want you to listen to the verbs as we go through this. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one whom they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. God's plan of redemption is in these verses. Did you see what Paul is saying here? I want to break it down a little bit because Paul's line of thought is right here. And to understand Paul's line of thought, we actually have to take the passage and turn it backwards. I want to read a quote by John Stott to help us understand this. Stott observes that the essence of Paul's argument is seen if we put the six verbs in the opposite order. Christ sends heralds or Christians. Heralds preach. People hear. Hearers believe. Believers call. And those who call are saved. Do you see what this involves? It involves you and me. And no matter what age, what demographic, what culture, what language we speak, if we are a follower of Christ, it involves you. The way that people call on the name of the Lord is by ordinary people following God's call to live a meaningful life of witness and proclamation that we have some really great news and it can change your life. Often we teach people how to defend their faith, apologetics, to often get into a little bit of an argument with people. And I want to challenge you that what I've seen is the most effective way to reach the lost is by truly loving them. And so, yes, we need to know and apologetics, we need to defend our faith, but we also need to love our neighbors, love our enemy, love the foreigner, and love the lost. My father-in-law, he's the president of an organization called ISMC, International Student Ministries of Canada, and he phrased intentional relationship building like this. We invite people into spiritual and cultural exchanges, meaning we love people because Christ loves us, and we love people because we learn from each other, and we are actually intentionally supposed to be brothers and sisters in Christ. We listen and exchange cultures and values and traditions. And we also share our spiritual journey of how our lives have been changed through Jesus. Something I want to encourage you with is that sharing the good news can be simple. It takes time, but it's not that complicated. We start with prayer. We build intentional relationships with your coworkers, your neighbors, your classmates, the shopkeepers, the barista, whatever it may be, the people in your life. And then we share our story. You see, if you share your story, people can't say, oh, no, that's not right. You're like, but it's my story. Sharing your story can change lives. A while back, I came across a book that used an acronym called BLESS. And it helps us understand how to share the good news with our neighbors. And so we printed out a little bookmark there for you, and just wanted that as a handout, but I'm just going to go through it here with us. It starts with, begin with prayer. If we don't pray and invite God into it, then we're just doing it on our own. God, give me opportunities. God, give me eyes to see the people around me the way you see them. God, give me a heart to see the brokenness around me and to love them like you do. We did a little prayer walk as a church. We called it prayer walk your block. And for a whole month, all of us as a church, we prayed and walked around our own blocks, wherever we lived throughout the city. And we prayed, God, give us opportunities as we walked. And one quick story is that all those times I was walking, nothing really happened, nothing the first couple weeks. And then all of a sudden one night, I was taking out the garbage, literally 15 feet from the house to the sidewalk. And a Muslim man walked by. It was during Ramadan, and so I just greeted him. And he stopped, and we talked for 2 hours by taking out the garbage. I wasn't planning on that. I was like my pajama pants, you know, just going out there, take out the garbage real quick. 2 hours, got to hear, listen to him. What do you believe? What is your faith? Share about my story, how Jesus has changed my life, and how I think he can change yours too. Start with prayer. Listen. Listen and be aware of the needs of those around you. It's important to listen to your neighbors. What are they going through? What are the struggles? What are the things that you can help them with? One story where I did this wrong, I was doing door-to-door evangelism, and I came to a door and immediately went into, hi, my name's Isaac, and I want to share some great news with you. And as I started talking, about a minute later, she stopped me and she says, she just started crying. She says, Isaac, I don't care what you say. My husband just lost his job today, and this is one of the hardest days of our lives. You didn't care to ask anything about me. You just came to tell me this. I need you to go. And she slammed the door in our face. That was on me. I just went straight up and just thought, I need to go and preach the gospel at her, but I didn't even love her. I didn't ask her if she had the time. I was young. I just went straight into it, thinking that was the right way. Listen, love your neighbors. Care about them first. There's a quote, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care, right? Eat. Eat with your neighbors. Eat with your coworkers. Eat with those around you. I think the Canadian culture, we've gone farther and farther away from inviting our neighbors over for a meal, inviting our coworkers, and maybe even inviting people in church over for a meal. Often we feel that our house has to be perfect. If they, you know, dust the baseboards because they might see that, you know, go clean the bedroom even though we're going to close the door anyways, you know. And so sometimes we just get away from just hospitality at its core. When we eat with people, whether it's coffee, come over for some dessert, doesn't have to be a whole meal, or just a barbecue in your backyard, we break down barriers and people are open to more relationship building. Eat. Serve others with love and compassion. If we've listened, if we've been praying, then we'll know how we can serve others. And lastly, share your story. Share your faith. After you've prayed, listen, eat, and served. And so those bookmarks, I just want you to take that and put it in your Bible, put it somewhere where you're going to see it. Think about these things. How can we bless those around us? God's plan of redemption involves you and me, and blessing, and the blessing of loving the Lord and sharing this amazing news is beautiful. The last part of our passage in verse 15 says, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. Bringing the good news is truly an incredible thing. I can tell you time and time again where God gave me the courage to speak up or to say something and to enter into gospel conversation, and the Spirit is just working, and there's something inside me, and I literally cannot explain it other than when you share the gospel, the Holy Spirit does a beautiful thing through you. Living a life on mission and bringing the good news to the lost in a hurting world is not only obedience to God, but it's also rewarding. Do you believe that what you believe is really real? And if we do, then church, what are we doing about it? I want to share with you in the second kind of half, I'm going to grab the clicker from my wife here. I want to share a little bit about our ministry as a whole, and this might be a little bit different than some other missionaries that might be overseas, because this is a ministry that we do, but also it's a ministry that we want to invite you into. And so as much as we love that you pray for us and that the church supports us, we actually want you to come alongside us, because the reality is that a few missionaries and a few pastors going off to share the gospel is never going to be enough. It takes the whole church. And we have an incredible opportunity here in Canada. This is our goal. Our goal is to share the gospel with the unreached peoples of the world who have gathered in Toronto while equipping the church to do likewise, allowing God to transform their lives and help them to become influencers for Him within their cultures and their countries. And so we hope to share the gospel with two different kind of entities. We work with international students as our predominant ministry, those who are coming to study. About 80% of international students statistically want to stay, but only about 20% get permanent residency and are able to stay. And that, again, is changing every day. But international students are ones who that come here can receive and hear this good news and bring it back to countries where we can't get visas, we don't know the language, we don't have the culture, and they can bring the gospel to the corners of the earth where many of us can't even get to. Newcomers to Canada, they come and they settle, and they can become influencers for God within their cultures right here in Canada, but through technology and planes and all sorts of things, they still have a great influence on their family and their support system back home. And so our goal is to reach both those who are here temporarily and those who are here long-term. Of course, this applies to anyone, your Canadian neighbor who's been here for 100 years or your newcomer who's only been here for a month. Nikki and I always say that Nikki and Isaac can do a drop in the bucket, but how much more can we do if the Church of Canada rises up to the challenge and shares the good news in all of our workplaces, in all of our schools, and all of our neighborhoods. And that includes our young people too, right? Even in our schools. This is a quick little photo of just a map of 2024. There was just over 1 million international students in Canada. You can see many of them were coming from the Asia, Middle East. We have some from South America, Africa. And so the nations are literally gathering all around us. A little bit of our call into ministry. Nikki and I have always felt a call to missions. I studied to be a missionary. I never planned on becoming a pastor. And so we thought that God was going to send us overseas. Little did we know, God called us to Toronto to serve as a pastor, at which I said no at first, and God took a year for me to change my heart and get on track with God's plans and not my plans. And now God's brought us here, and now it all makes sense as we look back. But we thought we were going to go to a place where people had little to no access to the gospel. That was our heart. And so about 5 years ago, we had our firstborn Esther. Oh, I didn't mention as well when I was introducing our family, we're expecting another little one in about a month and a half. So our family's growing too. about 5 years ago, we had a paternity leave. We took 5 weeks off and we said, God, we want to just hear from you. We feel called to missions, but we don't know what that looks like. We don't know where to go. We don't know what this looks like. But God, we just want to listen. And so we took those 5 weeks, and this is just before the pandemic, and we went to Thailand and China. And in that time, we went with missionaries and organizations, and we just wanted to hear, what is God doing? What can we get excited about? What can God speak into us that maybe we'll get on board of something and we'll go off and do that? And as we went there, we were hearing many of the challenges and the struggles of getting visas into certain countries, especially that, if you've heard of the 1040 window, the kind of unreached areas, and this idea of trying to then learn the language and get into the culture and then build relationships, and because it's illegal to share the gospel in many of these countries, to secretly then build relationships to share the gospel and heard these incredible challenges. And we knew this was going to happen, but the reality is that they were saying that they kept asking, so what is God doing in Toronto? And we said, actually, 2 days before we flew out, we had 80 international students for a Christmas meal at our church. And almost all of them were from the exact countries that these missionaries were from. And they said, so in one meal, you were able to share the gospel with all of these students from all these different countries. Why aren't you considering Toronto? And I was like, well, missionaries go. They don't stay. Right? I was like, I can't be a missionary in my own country. I need to go somewhere. And so we came home from that and basically took a few months of meeting with our pastors and elders and mentors in our lives, and God totally changed our mindset about reaching the lost, who God has brought here for a reason, for such a time as this. And so God changed our hearts, and we saw the opportunity to reach international students and newcomers for the gospel to be heard here and brought back to the corners of the earth where we can't even get into. And so just in conclusion, just like the young man from Japan has come to our doorstep, so are there millions of newcomers who are in our neighborhood, our workplaces, and our schools and communities. Millions have never heard the gospel, their families have never heard, and their communities back home have never heard. Let us open our hearts, our eyes, and our time to love and bless the nations at our doorstep. Would you consider joining us in living a life of meaningful witness that God is awesome and he can change your life? And so, Forward Baptist Church, I have two questions for us as we end. Is there anything greater than the representation and the declaration of Jesus Christ to all ends of the earth? And do you believe that what you believe is really real?